I want you to turn in the book in the Bible tonight to the book of Revelation chapter 16. And the Bible here gives us what is going to happen. And I want us to see as Christians now, somebody said, they had a camp meeting a while back and the theme for the whole week was hell, people preaching on hell. And I said, how in the world could they get a camp meeting and shouting and praising God on hell? And you know, it was more shouting and praising God when they preached on hell to the Christians. You know why? Because they were so happy they wasn't going. Everybody you see tonight, you go out here and every sensible person would tell you that they desire, they want to go to heaven. Well, what's the alternative? Hell, the judgment of God, the wrath of God. This ought to make a Christian shout. We can preach on what Jesus did, but glory to God, I'm glad for what he did for me, and I'm glad what he did for you, and you that are saved tonight. And know you're going to heaven, you ought to be praising God. And if you're a Christian and you have some lost loved ones, you ought to say, dear God, help me to warn them and to weep over them and to be a Christian that they can have confidence in, that I can be a blessing and a witness to them. And let's pray. Father, I pray that in these few moments that we will be able to see something from the Word of God that will stir our hearts and help us to live for God and lift up Jesus Christ. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 16, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. The angels, they are pouring out their vials upon the earth. And what is it? It's the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Now, if you get saved, you go to heaven when Jesus comes, or when you die, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So when we leave this world, and people are going to still be here, lost people are still going to be here, and this is what they're going to be facing. The Bible says the first angel went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped the image. Now, we could go back and get the whole book of Revelation, but this is tonight something that really has been on my heart, and I pray that it'll help us to realize, and I pray for people, and I know a lot of folk, and somebody, one man told me, he said, I don't want you praying for me. I said, there's nothing you can do about it. I'll pray for you as long as I want to, and I pray for you that God will so open your eyes and let you see what you are facing. Now, when I ask a person if they want to go to heaven, everybody wants to go to heaven with the exception of one group of people, and they say, we're going to live in the kingdom. But Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So they can't even see the kingdom without being born in it. But the Bible said the first went and poured out his water, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped the image. Now, I've had a little bit of spot on my thumb here for about 3 or 4 months. I went to the doctor, and they said, you need an antibiotic. I took the antibiotic, and it hasn't helped it. And I've had all kind of descriptions of what I need to do. One little sore, not real bad. The Bible said grievous sore. Everybody got sores all over them. And you go to the doctor, he says, I've got to give you an ointment. And you say, doctor, what can you do? No, it's not going to help. The Bible says the sore is going to fall upon these people, the mark of the beast upon them. Who's going to get? The Bible says the sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshiped the image. The people on earth are going to worship sin and Satan and worship the devil. And so what happens? God's paying them back. God said the first angel, going to be seven of them. Number two, the Bible said, and the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. The Bible says here that the blood of a dead man and every living soul died in the sea. Now that's what's happened. That's what's going to be happening on this earth. Think about it. If I was thinking about this, say I'm saved and my wife's lost, or she's saved and I'm lost, I would hate to think that she'd be left behind and we'd tell one another goodbye. But when Jesus comes, we find here that the Bible says that it's going to be the blood of a dead man and every living soul in the sea died. Okay, they wanted blood and they're going to get blood. And you'll find in another place that the church, a certain church, has brought judgment on themselves by shedding the blood of innocent people. America's shedding innocent blood today with abortion and with the drunkenness and people running the highway. The Bible said the blood of a dead man. That's number two. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. What in the world are you going to do? What will people do then? My goodness, go and say, we need a purifying system. You won't have a purifying system. It's going to be blood. Go to the spigot, it's going to be blood. You go to the river, it's going to be blood. Why? God said, I'm going to give them blood because they did not trust me, did not want me. I'll tell you, you're doing a serious thing when you turn God down and say, I don't want him, I don't need him. And I heard the angel of the water say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus, for they have shed. Now look at what the reason God's given them blood. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. God said, give them exactly what they ask for. And if you want to say, I don't need God, God said, okay, I'm going to show you what it's that like without me. I'm glad, glory to God, I have a Savior. He loves me, and I'm glad I can rejoice in him, and I'm glad I'm heaven bound because of God's amazing grace, and I'm glad that God has given us an opportunity to be saved, and I'm glad God put you here tonight that we could hear this, whether we're Christian, whether we're a sinner, whether we're on our way to heaven or on our way to hell. I'm glad God says you better pay attention to what is in the Word of God. The Bible says the prophets, the saints, they have given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. God said, pour it on. Now say here tonight, look at that. And then I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. Somebody said, that's a mean God. No, they're going to be saying, God, you're doing right. When we see things in God's light, we're not going to complain and say, God, why did you do this? Why did you do so bad to these people? God said, they are getting what they asked for, and they knew they could escape it, but they wouldn't accept it. And God said, this is what they're going to get. I tell you what, you wake up at night and you're laying down on your pillow and you're thinking, boy, I wonder what would happen if Jesus comes, and I wonder if I'm going to heaven or hell. I hope I'm going to heaven, but I want to be sure I'm going to heaven. But praise God, I'm glad you can know it because of God's word. And God said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And if you turn that down, what did you expect God to do? What do we expect God to do? And so the Bible says, righteous, true and righteous are thy judgment. Okay, that's number three. Number four. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. You talk about a sunburn. You haven't seen anything. You talk about a suntan. You haven't seen anything like this. The Bible said here that they were scorched with fire, scorched with fire. And the men were scorched with great heat. And what did they do? They said, oh, God, have mercy. No, they said they blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Fifth vial, verse 10, the Bible said, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. I tell you what, this really touched, and you want to see something. You go to the hospital, and you see somebody. I was watching Emily yesterday, and she was laying there, and I said from that Thursday she'd been crying and saying she was hurting, and they said, well, you'll probably be all right. But she was laying there in the hospital yesterday, and real trooper. She wasn't complaining, griping, and grumbling, but I see tears in her eyes, and boy, you talk about that touched the nurse's heart. That touched our heart. That touched everybody's heart to see tears in her eyes. One little girl lying there said, eight years old, laying there, and boy, I tell you what, seeing her, and boy, people's hearts were touched. And they said, and so they called the nurse, and somebody came in and said, we can give morphine and get something for the pain. And after a while, they came in and said, honey, are you feeling better? She smiled, and yes, the morphine begins to work. But here, morphine's not going to help. The Bible said, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the kingdom, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. They didn't say, come and get something for your pain. Take a Tylenol, take double strength Tylenol. Didn't they could do all, say you could do all of that? But he said they were gnawing their tongues for pain, and blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repenting not of their deeds. Aren't you glad you're saved? Glory to God. Aren't you glad you got something to shout about? If we can't shout on heaven, we can shout on what God kept us from. We can shout on hell. We can shout because God's not going to let us go there. Hallelujah. He said, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And I'm glad we have something tonight that we can rejoice in, because God said, if you come to me and if you'll trust me, receive me, I will give you eternal life. Glory to God. I'm glad the woman at the well got it, and Paul on the road to Damascus got it, and I'm glad the apostle got it, and I'm glad that all except Judas. But I'm saying there that, praise God, I can shout because I can preach on hell and say, thank God I'm not going there, and you don't have to go there either. Your old friends don't have to go there. They say, oh, we're going to have a good time. And then I think about one of the rock and roll stars said the other day, well, we're going to go to hell and party. With who? Because you talk about this party. This is no party I want to attend. I'll tell you what, they said, oh, you don't want to go where you're not invited. And I preached, and I heard a man preaching. And this is what he said. He said, I'm going to preach on hell and why I'm not going there. And I thought it was kind of strange that him being on television, you don't hear much preaching on hell, and in churches much less on television, but the black preacher was there. And I said, I'm going to just see what he says about hell. And this is what he said. He said, I'm not going to hell. Praise God, I'm born again. I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to hell because I haven't been invited. Glory to God. I about had a shouting spell. I said, amen, preach it, brother. He said, I'm not going to hell because I'm not wanted there. He said, I'm not going to hell because there's no exit. He said, I'm not going to hell because God has given me salvation through Jesus Christ. And boy, by that time, Brother Self, I was praising God because he's preaching on hell, and I was shouting because of his mercy and his grace. And I'm glad tonight, glory to God, we can say, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful is his wonderful love to me. And I'm glad, thank God, as Brother Self praised many times, thank God for a salvation that saves you and keeps you safe for time and eternity, glory to God. The Bible said, amen. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. God said, I'm going to let them march over, and they're going to go against Israel, and God's going to destroy them. But the Bible said, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, for they are the spirits of the devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Now think about it. Look at all the things that happening in these verses. And that's not the end of it. The Bible said they are headed up for a great battle. The battle of Armageddon. They're going to have a battle like they've never seen before. You say, God, have mercy on us. Yes, today is the day of mercy. And hallelujah, in the book of Nahum, the Bible said God delights in mercy. And God says today the door is open. But when the door is shut, when God shut the door for Noah, nobody could get out and nobody could get in. And God's, when he shut the door, nobody could open it. And when he opens the door, God, nobody can shut it. And I thought about that phrase when the Bible said at midnight, a cry was made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And thank God, the Bible said they that were ready went out to meet him, and the door was shut. Those came back, they went to get oil, and they came back and said, no, open unto us, open unto us, open unto us. They said, go, you can't get in, the door is shut, the door is shut. I want to tell you something, hallelujah, the door is open today. And I told these folk this past few weeks, I said, I want to tell you, you can come today. Tomorrow may be too late. And one woman said, I'll tell you, I can't get saved yet. It's not time. What did God say? He said, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Well, I can't get saved yet. I got to do this, got to do that. No, you come today. And the Bible says today is the accepted time. Come today. And if you don't come today, you may not have an opportunity tomorrow. Boy, this is something. And I'm thanking God that it's for Christians to realize what a wonderful God we have and to be saved. There are thousands of people today. If people would preach the word of God, and this is what a woman told me, goes to another church. She said, I go to church, preacher, and there's nothing there. I said, praise God, I'm glad there's always something. When we have the word of God, we have something from heaven. And I'm glad we can have the grace and the glory of God. And then people look at this. The Bible says, working miracles, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Where are we going? We're going to Armageddon. What? We're going to have to drink water. We need some water. No, we're going to have blood. The river's drying up. The blood's flowing. The rivers are not flowing. But you look at this. The Bible said, and the seventh angel poured out his vial, this is the last one, into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. That's it. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wrath of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men, a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague of thereof was exceeding great. Cuss on all you want to. Go ahead and say what you want to. God can take it, and God's not going to change his mind. He's not going to relieve those people. They're going to suffer. And the Bible says the smoke of the torment ascendeth up forever and forever and forever. And I cannot understand how in the world somebody would turn down a gift like Jesus Christ, the gift of eternal life, trust him today, and how they would accept the things of this world when they could have heaven. James Baker was down there, and he said, Brother Wells, I want you to do something. I've got some sulfur here, and I want you to let me know when you can't stand it. And I don't know, brimstone, sulfur. But he came up and had that sulfur burning. And Brother Baker just walked to him like this. He went real slow. He didn't walk up there and boom, boom. He just walked. He said, I want you to let me know when you can't stand it. And he got over close to Brother Baker. And he got about as close as from here to here from him. And Brother Baker went to his knees. Now, he's always cutting up, but he wasn't cutting up that time. He was knocked out with that sulfur, that burning sulfur. And you know what the Bible says about hell? It says sulfur and brimstone, fire and brimstone. How would you like to be next to that for eternity? Every Christian ought to say hallelujah, thank God, I won't have to face that. Every person here tonight that's born again ought to say, I'm thanking God, I'm heaven bound because of God's amazing grace. I'm glad we have eternal life through him. Hallelujah. When it turned the air conditioning on, and when we have the cool water and have all those blessings, I said, thank God, I'm glad one day there'll be the river of life. One day we'll have the tree of life. One day we'll see the gates of pearl, the wall of jasper, and the foundation that God has for the city that lies four square. The Bible says here that they went forth. The plague was exceeding great. Now, I want you to look at something. That's not the end. It's shaping up for another battle. If Jesus comes tonight, every saint will be gone. Everybody will be gone that's saved. Don't get concerned about your neighbor right now. Think about yourself. Don't get concerned about the preacher right now. Think about yourself. But if Jesus came tonight, look at this. You find that the saints will go out of this world. The Bible said the dead in 1 Thessalonians, it says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now that's what would happen tonight if Jesus came. And that would be a 7-year period of tribulation here on this earth. Now, how would a person like to be left in that? But it gets worse and worse and worse and worse and on down. Then Jesus comes back after the 7-year period. Two things in heaven. Number one, be the marriage supper of the Lamb and the judgment seat of Christ for the Christian. But then Jesus comes back to this earth. His foot steps down on the Mount of Olives. And the Bible says that there is going to be a 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth. But what's going to happen to the devil? The Bible says that an angel comes down from heaven before that 1,000-year period, and he binds Satan, puts him in the bottomless pit. He stays there for 1,000 years, and the people on this earth will be here. The people that are saved will come back with Christ, beginning that 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. And Satan's going to be in prison for 1,000 years. The Bible says, and this is what really is amazing, in chapter 20, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season." People are always saying, "Do you think the world's fixing to end?" Well, not for at least 1,007 years. They said, "My goodness, how do you know?" Well, it's going to be 7-year tribulation and 1,000-year reign of Christ. The Bible says that people after this, what's going to happen? The Bible said after that 1,000-year period, Satan's going to be loose for a little season. And you would think everybody would be so happy. They would bow and worship God and say, "I'm so glad I can call upon you." No, they won't be able to call on him. They rejected him when they had an opportunity. This is not an opportune time for them to get saved. But what happened? The Bible says, "And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshiped the beast, neither his image." Okay, something good's going to happen to those that didn't worship the beast. Those that were saved. That's going to be some people saved in the tribulation period. If anybody gets saved, that's wonderful. But the majority of people that are saved, the majority of them will get saved before the Lord comes back. Now, God will let the witnesses in the Bible witness during the period here on earth, and many will be saved. But what happens to them? They get beheaded. They're beheaded, and the Bible says they had not worshiped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. Now, one place I think the Bible says in their hand or in their forehead, the mark of the beast. Some people are afraid to get a phone number because they're scared it might be the mark of the beast. People are afraid. They think that the mark of the beast might be this. And I want to tell you something. A Christian, a born-again person, will not take the mark of the beast. But they will be killed if they get saved. And the Bible says here that they had neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands, and they lived on and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Are you going in that one? Praise God, you better. You better be going the first one. "And on such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, 7 years, if Jesus comes tonight, 7-year period of tribulation, we're gone. 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth after those 7 years. Oh, yes, and the Jews are going to think they have the Messiah. He's going to be a false Christ. And they're going to think we've received him. And you know what? They're going to make an agreement with them for 7 years. But he's going to break that agreement in the middle of 7 years. And they're going to find out that he's not the Messiah. They're going to find out he's a fake. They're going to find out the Antichrist is a scumbag. They're going to think that they're going to be delivered. But the Bible said, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection over the second, over which the second death hath no power. They shall rule and reign with Christ, be priests 1,000 years. But here's what I want you to notice. "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, the bottomless pit, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Now, Mr. Ahmadinejad said that he is going to destroy Israel with a nuclear bomb. I got news for him. He can prepare the biggest bomb he wants to, and he will be the one destroyed by it. The best thing a person can do to escape this judgment is to call on God. Say, "Dear God, I want you for my Savior. I'm trusting you to take me to heaven. I want you to come into my heart and make me a new creature in Christ Jesus." And guess what? He will. Amen. He will. How many believes that? Glory to God. I'm glad he will. He will. Amen. And the Bible said, "And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone." Now, a while ago, he said, "How long do you think you can stand this brimstone, fire and brimstone?" And Mr. Baker stood there, and all of a sudden he went to his knees. You think about this, being in hell forever with fire and brimstone, and there's no escape. If you want to really boggle your mind, think about this. No end. Eternity. How long is eternity? The Bible says forever. And forever. And forever. And forever. And forever. And when I saw this, I said, "My dear God, I sure would hate for somebody that I had an opportunity to witness to and tell about Jesus, and I didn't do it, and they went to hell." My, how wonderful it is to know that God loves sinners. Jesus died for sinners, hallelujah. And I'm glad he wants sinners to come. And Jesus said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Blessed and holy is he that part in the first resurrection, on which the second death had no power. But after all of these days, all of this time, all of the 1,000-year period on earth, the people did not get saved. 1,000 years of Jesus ruling on this earth, men's hearts were still adamantly opposed to his grace and his mercy. Can you imagine that? What are we going to gain by bucking and trying to go against God when God said this is what is going to happen, and we try to argue with him and say, "I don't believe it's going to happen like that." Somebody told me the other day, said, I don't care about the Old Testament, and I don't care about God. Said, "Look how bad he treated people back in the Old Testament." I'm going to tell you something. Look how people have treated God. They rejected him. Only hope of heaven is in Jesus, and they turn it down. I don't understand it, but I do know that men's heart is desperately wicked. They need to get saved. And so the Bible says, you, they came. When the 1,000 years were expired, he went out to deceive the four and the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, and gathered them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Boy, I just thought, people that you know, people that you love, people that you contact day by day, they are going to be in heaven or hell one day forever. Oh, my goodness. And I talked to a businessman here in Lexington. He said, "Preacher, I can't get saved. He said, I have a salty tongue." He meant I'm a cursor. I said, "That's the kind of people God saves. That's the kind of people God loves. I'm an adulterer. That's the kind of people Jesus is looking for. I'm just a low-down, sorry sinner. That's the kind of people God loves. And I'm glad he loves you. I'm glad he died on the cross for you. And I'm glad, glory to God, you can come to him tonight and get saved." You look at this. The Bible says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast..." You know, people have the idea that the devil's going to be the boss in hell. Not going to be a boss. Except God. The Bible says here, God is going to cast them in hell. And the Bible says that they are going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now that's what God says. And the devil's not going to be partying with people down there. They're not going to be drinking and partying. They're not going to enjoy it. If they're in heaven, they're happy with Jesus. If they're in hell, they're not even thinking about that junk that goes on in this world. All the people. And I saw a great, now this is something. Now I'm going to read down through verse 15 and I'll be finished. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. This is every sinner going to come before God. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You say, preacher, what does that do? It makes me want to shout and praise God for salvation, but I also want to weep over sinners. It makes me want to be concerned about my loved ones. Now, a lot of times we get concerned about someone that's dear to us more than we do about those that we don't know real good. People are being killed and persecuted and all kind of things happening tonight. Even in the countries where the people are preaching the gospel of Christ and people are suffering, we need to realize that today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. If you've never been saved, if you don't know you're saved, tonight would be a good time to say, dear God, I know I am a sinner and I don't want to go through this. I want to serve you. I want to love you. And God, come into my heart. Trust Jesus Christ. Receive him. Salvation is not praying a prayer. It's receiving a gift. What is the gift? The Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Somebody said, I can do pretty good. Somebody said, I wonder if I've done enough works, good works, to go to heaven. Never in your life could you do enough good works to go to heaven. It's the grace of God. No person will stand in heaven and say, Lord, I'm here because I was so good and I was so faithful to church and I gave money and I did good to everybody I could. God, no person going to be standing there doing that. They're going to bow on their face before God and say, Jesus, thank you for salvation. Let's bow our heads for prayer, please. I wonder how many would say, preacher, would there be one to say, preacher, I want to be sure that when I die, I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand for prayer? Anyone? Anyone? You don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to see. You want to be sure. Amen. One. Anyone else? I want to be sure that I'm going to heaven. Amen. That's two. Three, four. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you really want to know? That's the main thing. If you want to know, I'm glad. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that we deserve hell. The Bible says that the wicked shall be turned into hell. The Bible tells us that Jesus died for our sins. He died on the cross for your sins. He died for you. He died for me. He died for every person. He was not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. We're sinners. We deserve to die and go to hell. But praise God, the good news is the price has already been paid. I was given a Bible today and someone said, how much do I owe you? I said, nothing. You know why? Somebody else had already paid for it. Glory to God, you can't pay one dime for salvation. You can't do one work except come to him. Repent of your sin. Trust in him. He will save you. He will save you now. He will save you tonight. He will save you before you can lay down tonight. He will save you if you will come to him. Glory to God, I'm praying that you will. And then we notice this. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you will call on him, say, dear God, I'm a sinner. I am the sinner, and you're the Savior. I'm receiving you as my Savior. God loves you. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. If y'all will come, You can be saved tonight. In fact, you don't have to come down here. I want to ask you something. You that raised your hand, I'm talking to you. If you have to raise, you that raised your hand, would you right now, where you are, just bow your head and say, "Dear God, I'm going to trust you. I'm receiving you as my Savior." Would you do that? Would you do that? That would be one of the greatest things you could do. You three people right here, God loves you. I love you. I thank God that Jesus died for your sins. Bow your head and say, "Dear God," repeat after me if you would. "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. And right now I'm receiving Christ as my Savior. Thank you for coming into my heart." Amen. Did you believe? Did you do that? If you did, raise your hand. You did that? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for these three dear people. Thank you, Lord, for laying a message on my heart. And Lord, I pray that not only will they go on their way rejoicing because they called upon the name of the Lord. Dear God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm receiving you, trusting you as my Savior. But Lord, I pray that as we continue, that we will seek to please God